Welcome to We Are Libertarians Daily. My name is Chris Spangle, and this is a special Sunday edition of We Are Libertarians Daily. But with a big election coming up in just a couple days, we're putting out as much content as we possibly can. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, then you want to join the Patreon right now. At the $5 a month or above level, join at wearelibertarians.com/support. And if you join the Patreon, then you're going to get the election special that I'm recording shortly after this. It's taken me all day to research what's going to happen on Tuesday, but I've got a few ideas and libertarian races for you to watch and coverage that you're not going to hear anywhere else because, let's be honest, CNN is not covering libertarians like we will. And then also Tuesday night, if you're $10 a month and above on Patreon, then you are going to get a special treat. It's an election night party on Zoom. You're going to get to hang out with other Patreon members, myself, people who are on the podcast, people like Hody and others. I know Hody's the only one that I know will be there, but so I'll send that out to all current $10 a month and above Patreon members. So please join now and you get access to those two special things. So I was talking to a friend who is with me today. Her name is Levy. Hi, Levy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Now, how long have you been listening? Since what age have you been listening to We Are Libertarians?
I started when I was 17 and I started going to college and I needed more information on politics.
Okay. So 17 years old, that's how young we're indoctrinating kids. So if you've got teenagers, please send along the podcast. Would you say that you're a libertarian because of the show or just because you're a contrarian redhead?
No, I wouldn't say because of the show. My brother is very libertarian, and so he influenced a lot of my thinking. But yeah, I definitely learned a lot through We Are Libertarian, so that's good.
So we were talking. She's like, "Have you seen this ad?" And she lives down in Georgia. And there's a governor's race happening in Georgia that I think really typifies kind of where we're heading in America. And it's a dead even race between Democrat Stacey Abrams, who is vying to be the first black female governor in the nation in America's history, versus Brian Kemp, who is running to be Roy Moore 2.0. And Now with 100% less child accusations. So she sent me this ad, and I was like, what the heck? So listen to this ad. This is just the Republican Party in 2018.
I'm Brian Kemp. I'm so conservative. I blow up government spending. I own guns that no one's taken away. My chainsaw's ready to rip up some regulations. I got a big truck. Just in case I need to round up criminal illegals and take them home myself. Yep, I just said that. I'm Brian Kemp. If you want a politically incorrect conservative, that's me.
Now, how often are you seeing this ad down in Georgia?
Pretty often, yeah. It's everywhere.
I said the worst part about Donald Trump, I said this in 2016, is not that Donald Trump will be president, but that for the rest of time, Donald Trump will be copied by people, and we'll see people who are bad at being Donald Trump, and that's sort of it's kind of a funny ad, but yeah, I mean, he's trying to be as offensive as he can get away with. Now, he's the current Secretary of State, and let me see here, I lost my show notes here that I was just looking at. Now he is the Secretary of State, and Stacey Abrams was the former. I think she was the majority leader. Let me pull this up. Do you know? Do you have any idea what she did down there?
No, I don't.
See,
I'm sorry.
Gen Z. This is what's wrong with Gen Z people. Well, I had the link up and then I lost it, so give me just like 1 second here. So, but the race has sort of taken on a very intense tone because it's tied, and it's amazing that it's tied because Stacey Abrams is essentially like a Bernie Sanders liberal. She's the 44-year-old former State House minority leader, and she's trying to run to the left. And then that ad, the Democratic Governors Association said, Brian Kemp spent $2 million of his own money defining himself better than we could. Kemp said he'd sign religious freedom legislation vetoed by Deal, Nathan Deal, the current governor that's not able to run again, that would have allowed faith-based institutions to deny services to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. And Georgia, Democrats seek a striking parallel to North Carolina, where backlash over the state's bathroom bill requiring people to use the facility that matches their assigned gender helped cost GOP Governor Pat McCrory his election in 2016. His re-election. The campaign against Kemp will be that extreme cultural conservatism is bad for business. We saw this here in Indiana when the RFRA happened. A bunch of people like Salesforce threatened to pull out. But Abrams remains an underdog simply because of the uphill math. She'll need to yield record African-American turnout while convincing significant portions of suburban white voters outside of metropolitan Atlanta to abandon their Republican roots. They also have to get over 50% of the vote, which there is a libertarian in the race named Ted Metz, and he could cost either one of these candidates or both of them a 50% majority, which means they'd go into runoff between the two of them, and they'd have to have a second runoff again. That was from U.S. News and World Report. Now, so what is the temperature like down in Georgia when you've got, for the first time probably in your state's history, or at least in our memory, a really hardcore Bernie Sanders type Democrat and a Donald Trump super hardcore conservative Tea Party type nut job guy? I mean, what is the temperature there as you're down living in Georgia? And we should say you're down sort of towards Mississippi, towards the Gulf. You're not anywhere near Atlanta.
Yeah, I would say that it's hostile a little bit. Which I'm young, but I've never seen such division between people. If you know, you're just demonized if you're on one side or the other. So I don't really know what to say about that.
Well, tell us a story about what happened at school last week.
Okay, so I guess I should clarify that I'm in the art department, and so despite me being like a very conservative, like backwoods area, I live in like a very liberal environment within the art department. So my professors and everyone like usually knows that I vote libertarian. And during one of my studio classes, one of my professors came in and asked me. She has her educators for Stacey Abrams button on, and she comes in and asks me who I'm voting for, and I said, I think you know the answer for that. And she said, don't tell me you're voting third party. And I said, I mean, I can't vote for either of the other candidates. And you know, she just starts telling me that I'm throwing away my vote, and I told her calmly, you know, that I wasn't. And she just called bullshit on that, and you know, started trying to tell me like why it was so important that I vote for Stacey Abrams. And she kind of a little bit lost her mind for a couple minutes. But like, you can't talk to someone who's so emotionally tied to their voting. Like, you can't have a logical discussion with them. So, you know, I just told her I didn't want to discuss it any further. And the next day she came back and apologized to me because she got so extreme.
Cause she realized she could probably get fired for that. Well, she's on the left, so she can't, but that was an amazing story. I couldn't believe that, like, she targeted. How many other classmates were in the room?
Probably like 12 of us. Oh. Not a whole lot.
Were you like super embarrassed?
No, I've had these discussions with her for 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. So yeah, she's, she likes to call me out, but, I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like, I wasn't embarrassed, but she knew my answer, so.
So it was kind of playful, or was she like?
I mean, no, it was, she's very, very passionate, and me and her actually like close, because we care like about a lot of the same issues, and we're both very passionate people. We just go very different routes to help people, and so that's where we split off, and she's just very passionate, and I know she does it out of love. But I just can't reason with that.
Yeah. Well, I imagine a lot of we kind of talked about this the other day after this happened. Being liberal, especially amongst your age group, And it's this way on the conservative side. If you're wearing a MAGA hat, it's sort of fashion. It's not really backed up by any kind of ideology. You're wearing the D or the R just like you'd wear a necklace. Like you're just trying to show off your fashion.
Yeah. And I don't know, like that's what I want to tell people when they ask me like, why am I voting libertarian? It's like, it's not an easy choice. I'm going like against the current here and I'm having to do so much more research on my end than they're doing. You know, they're just going with the common trends and like voting Democratic because it feels good. And, you know, I wish I could do that, but I can't. Like my convictions won't let me. So yeah, that's where I land.
Yeah. And so all these people who make the wasted vote argument, it's like, it'd be so much easier to be a Republican or a Democrat. It'd just be so much easier to just fit in and not have to put up with this bull crap.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I wanted to tell her, like, you know, if it's a wasted vote, why are you making such a fuss about it? Like, clearly it's not. It's making an impact that you don't want.
Let me ask you this. So, and it is funny to see Democrats making the wasted vote argument now, but in that race in particular, there was some exit polling that actually was provided by a friend of yours who was trying to shame me for voting third party, and he's a Georgia kid, Georgia Republican. And then inadvertently, this doofus sends me this polling that basically shows 3% of people who are voting for Ted Metz are Democrats, 0.8 are Republicans, and the vast majority are just people who wouldn't vote because they don't have a party. So,
exactly. Yeah.
So libertarians are actually polling more from Stacey Abrams, but it's less than 5% of Ted Metz's voters have a party identification as R or D. So it's very negligible. But if your beliefs being exactly the same, if Ted Metz weren't in this race, would you cast a vote for one of the other two candidates?
I don't think I would. I wouldn't vote. I don't. I wouldn't vote.
And see, that right there is the wasted vote argument completely destroyed. Every piece of empirical evidence about wasted votes show exactly what we're seeing here, which is even though Levy culturally is liberal and you're probably fiscally conservative, you're still not going to vote for one of the other two candidates. You're just glad that the increased choice allows you to increase the vote. People who vote libertarian just wouldn't vote otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. Because I would not go out and vote for either one of them.
I mean, even in your age group and being a young white female, like it's almost expected that you're supposed to be liberal though, right?
You know, it's hard because of this area. A lot of my friends are liberal. But I see just as many people who I'm not friends with, you know, like huge Trump supporters and, you know, like the sons and daughters of like farmers locally, like, you know, they're fully on board the Kemp train. But I would say all of my like social circles are very much so liberal. So,
yeah. And in terms of your group, like, because you would think rural Georgia, there wouldn't be that many hardcore liberal people. But is there anybody even in the middle?
Oh, I wouldn't say. I mean, I don't. You know, they're all about like the free college train, and it's very very liberal. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you go to your house and see your parents, and then what happened there?
Well, I'm terrible about making jokes that are ill-timed and not funny to anyone but me. But my father was encouraging us to like get out and vote. And because it was a very tight race and he was, you know, stressed. And and so I just said that I was going to go vote Abrams, and all hell broke loose.
What does it mean that all hell broke loose?
I mean, he just said, no, you're not going to vote. You're not going to get out there. You can't vote if you're going to do that. I don't think so. Leave, you better not. You better not. Then we immediately prayed over our dinner.
So here you are, you know, you're kind of stuck and the reason I wanted to kind of tell these two stories is that I think it's very indicative of what a lot of libertarians are feeling right now. a lot of younger libertarians, especially around Levy's age, this is their first election. This is the first time they're experiencing, how do I put it? I guess nihilism might be the word. Like, it's almost sometimes you feel like the Joker, the Heath Ledger Joker, where you're like, I don't care if it all burns or not. And so you see these two people who are very passionate about being wrong on either side, and you're just like, I care a lot, but I also don't care at all. I mean, how would you describe being? Were you paying attention in 2016 at all, or is this kind of the first election where it's like personal?
Yeah, I definitely was. I became super discouraged after the 2016 election. For some reason, I sort of fell off, you know, and I didn't pay attention much after that. But yeah, I was definitely keeping up then.
So, like, what's the kind of the feeling that you have kind of stuck between these two worlds?
I just don't see. It makes me, honestly, I get sad a lot just at seeing people think that, like, the government is going to save them, and that's, like, their religion. And I don't like that everyone's identity is wrapped up in the party that they vote for, and that's just really discouraging for me, because that's not on the government, you know, that's on, like, people to help people, and it's not the government's job. And so that is just discouraging, honestly.
Yeah, I think being a libertarian a lot of times can be discouraging, but there are a couple of facts that in this show, I'll give people a preview of the bonus episode that I'm doing on the elections. So, you know, when I started Levy, here's some encouragement. When I started with the Libertarian Party of Indiana in 2008, you had to explain the word libertarian before you could even tell people about your candidate. Because people just didn't know that there was a third party choice. They didn't understand the word. They didn't understand that there was a third choice on the ballot, and they thought it was a wasted vote if they knew about it, and that was a very prevalent argument. And so our Senate candidate would usually get 1% or 2% here in Indiana. Well, Lucy Brenton is probably going – she got 5% in 2016, yes, 2016, and in 2018 she's probably going to get 6%. So we've gone from 1% or 2% to 6%. The president of the United States tweeted about her last night. The Democrats are sending mailers on her behalf trying to promote and raise her name ID so that that people will... what are you doing? You're flicking something.
It's not me.
Oh.
It's on your end.
That's weird. Let me mute you just in case. Let's see. Now they're trying to raise her name ID, so it could be even upwards of 7% maybe. So you've got this instance where you have increased vote totals in the same race over a period of time. Gary Johnson in 2012, he had 1% of the vote. 2016, he has 3% of the vote, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you have to understand the amount of sheer growth and name ID that it takes to raise 2% in a Senate race is absolutely stunning. And then there's also the money part of this. So third-party spending in 2006 for all candidates was $47 million. Fast forward to 2014, third-party spending was $281 million. So it went from $47 to $281 million. This year, up to this point, third-party candidates have raised $460 million. So it's almost a doubling of money spent, which means there are more active campaigns out there who are actually trying to go out and raise money and spend money and get votes. So I think you're going to see a massive increase in Libertarian Party. I mean, I went to the LP website to try and look up some of the candidates, and it was just so overwhelmingly full of candidates for the first time in my time as an LP person that I really I couldn't believe it. So I think there's real growth within the Libertarian Party, and we're going to see real increases in some of these races. I mean, Larry Sharp, for instance, has been on every massive media outlet I can possibly think of. So take heart, even though it may not be happening around your immediate area. There's definitely reasons to be hopeful and be proud to be a libertarian, because the movement is definitely growing in both the Republican Party and the Libertarian Party.
Okay. that makes me feel a little better.
All right, good. All right, well, I'm normally not used to doing 20 minutes. I'm used to doing two hours and 20 minutes. So it feels weird to end it here, but I guess I have to because my own rules. So, Levy, if there were, if there's anything that you'd like to say to the people, this is your chance.
Oh, God, I don't have anything worthy of saying. I'm here to learn.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. Oh, you know what? We forgot the craziest part, the real reason I wanted to do this. Who was campaigning on your tiny campus the other day?
Will Ferrell.
What was that? Did you see him?
No, so I didn't see him. I don't know if he actually came to the campus, but he was knocking on doors around the city that I'm in, and he went to a local restaurant, and the owner took a photo with him in his Stacey Abrams shirts and posted on Facebook, a restaurant did, and they're being boycotted by most of my town right now.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it's really going great down here. Keep us in your prayers and thoughts, and send us love.
Yeah, that's, well, Stacey Abrams to win really has to drive out the youth, minority, and black vote specifically. And so that's why she has Obama and Oprah and Will Ferrell and all these people coming into college towns in the Atlanta area. Because if she can drive up numbers of black voters around Atlanta, for instance, then she has a real shot. And she registered, I think, like 56,000 new black voters. So she's done everything she can to win, it looks like. But well, stay strong, Levy. I know it feels terrible when you're
terrible.
It feels awful, but you will get used to it.
At one point, I'll become numb, and I'm looking forward to it. Maybe
one day you'll just be old and grizzled like me, and just start making memes about it instead of feeling anything.
Perfect. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And then, so everybody pay attention to Georgia because it's a fascinating state where it seems like a deep red state that is now really on the cusp of going blue in a big way and electing a Bernie Sanders Democrat as their governor. So, all right, Levy, thanks for joining us. And then, everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow.